Center. There we go. All right, it is good to be with you all this morning, and we pray that you have just felt the presence of the Lord thus far through worship, and we're looking forward to experiencing together what He has for us together in His Word today. Now, we know that we live in a day and a time when many people place themselves under the banner or title of Christian, yet somehow their lifestyle, their choices, maybe their actions and or reactions don't quite add up to the meaning sometimes that should be behind that particular name. I think living in the Bible Belt as we do, we seem to witness this maybe more often than we should, definitely. But we see people who confessed to know and follow Christ, but whose beliefs and behavior seem to be divorced most days. Basically, what we see is a type of academic knowledge, if you will, of who God is, but not a continual, intimate, experiential knowledge of who He is. And today, we know that there is a difference in knowing God and then experiencing God inside of, again, relationship. So as a result, the term Christian in many ways has become kind of tainted. Misuse and misrepresentation have seemingly crippled the spiritual integrity of that very word, redefining it as it would be to a lesser version of maybe what it should be today. Now, my goal this morning is not to debate the term Christian or whether it is effective or ineffective within our culture today. My goal is not to defend the term Christian or attempt to delete the word Christian today. My goal this morning is for each of us to simply know within our heart of hearts that all current terms and cultural definitions set aside, we are by personal choice and lifestyle a Christ follower today. This morning, let's make sure that our daily choices, that our daily confession of Christ add up to how the Word of God defines a Christ follower. So to do that this morning, I want us to begin in Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to focus in on verse 24 this morning. It says, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. The first thing that we should take note of this morning is how Jesus defines those who follow Him. He used a specific word, and that word was disciple. This word disciple in the Greek describes someone who is very specifically a follower of Christ, not just a random follower, but here in this context, as Jesus uses it, it means that it is someone who is a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. Let's hear that again this morning. It is a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle they require. It denotes someone catechized with proper instruction from God's Word, with its necessary follow through. So again, it's learning the Word of God. It's living the Word of God out. It's following through in all of those life application moments. So this morning, we know just by the simple definition and word of disciple that Christ used, that Christ followers follow through. And so hopefully this morning we are a Christ follower who is following through every single day. I heard a quote from Brennan Manning many, many years ago that has always stuck with me. And again, I believe it still rings very true today, even in the culture that we live in this moment and the spiritual tide and atmosphere. He said this, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny Him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." You see, when we refuse to be a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle those things require, when we refuse to be a Christian who follows through, what we do is we confuse those who need Christ the most. We bring a sense of hypocrisy to the table, and that hypocrisy is confusing for those who are hearing us say that we belong to Christ and that we are Christians, but yet we don't live and look and act like Christ. Isaiah 57 and 14 says, "And the word of one shall go forth, cast up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of the spiritual return of my people." Romans 14 and 13 instructs us, "So stop being critical and condemning of other believers, but instead determine never to deliberately cause a brother or sister to stumble and fall because of your actions." You see, today we do have choice. We do have responsibility. And as a Christian, we are responsible as those Christ followers to remove any and every stumbling block possible that would keep somebody from having a relationship with Christ or returning to Christ. We need to be the ones today who are preparing the way for that spiritual return of those who are lost and unsaved. When that moment comes and their heart is tender and the Holy Spirit is drawing them in, we need to make sure that we are truly a Christ follower and that we aren't placing unnecessarily a stumbling block in their way of returning to Christ or coming to know Him and live their life for Him. The easiest place for us to start in that process today is with us. It's with our individual lives. So how does our confession match up to our lifestyle? Think about that this morning. It's not just a question for you today. That's a question for me as well. How does our confession match up to our lifestyle? Are there areas of our life that send mixed messages to those on the outside looking in? Do we truly practice what we preach? Do we follow through and apply God's word appropriately in our lives? Not occasionally, but daily. Disciples should example the difference. Christ followers today should example the difference. Again, as we've been discussing over the past weeks, we are to be a vibrant expression or reflection of who God is, His love, His goodness, His mercy, His grace. You see, this morning, Christ followers are to bring God's word, His truth, the message of Jesus Christ to full expression by how we choose to live our lives for Him. Again, being a Christian, a disciple, a Christ follower, is less a defining term and more a determined lifestyle. Let me say that again this morning. Being a Christian, a disciple, a Christ follower, is less a defining term and more a determined lifestyle. Knowing this very fact, Jesus not only defines what a true disciple is, but He continues in verse 24 to describe and outline some of the fundamental basics of what this lifestyle should consist of and require if we are to truly be that Christ follower this morning. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" So let's break that down this morning. That very first phrase, "if anyone would." If anyone would. Now, again, in recent weeks, we've talked about how God's word and how God Himself is inclusive. And here again, we witness that language, if you will, by the term "anyone." It simply means whosoever or whosoever will let them come. It is, again, an open invitation with the only restriction being our willingness to accept and join in. It says, "if anyone would." You see, that describes a determined purpose and desire to press forward into action. Christ followers don't sit on the sidelines. They dive into action this morning. We're not spectators in some form of weird spiritual sport this morning. We are to be participants who get out on the field and who exercise the gifts and abilities and talents that God has given them for His glory, for His name, again, for the continuation of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that souls will be changed and saved, not just in this moment, but forever, for all of eternity. Paul speaks of this determined purpose and desire to press forward into action as a Christ follower. And we kind of see that highlighted, if you will, in a few places in Philippians. So let's begin in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 27 first, and then we're going to move to Philippians chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Whatever happens, keep living your lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ, which reveals him to others." Let's catch that this morning, all right? "Then when I come to see you or hear good reports of you, I'll know that you stand united in one spirit and one passion, celebrating together as conquerors in the faith of the gospel." He goes on to say in chapter 3 and verse 14, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We have to understand this morning that we are to keep living our lives based on the reality of the gospel of Christ, because that is what draws others to him. So if we aren't pressing forward into action, if we're not striving for that prize and the upward call of God in Jesus Christ, what we're doing is we're living a subpar Christian life, and we're missing the mark that we have been called to make this morning. He goes on to say, "Come after me." This simply means to follow Christ as our sole guide or our direction. Psalms 32 and 8 says this. It says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." How many are thankful this morning that we don't have to try to find our way through this Christian experience blindly, but God says very clearly that he will guide us, and not just guide us, but he will guide us down the best pathway for our life. And while he does that, he will advise us and watch over us. Amen? You see, being a Christ follower means laying aside our personal GPS so that we can live fully in God's plan as we walk down each path that he provides and he leads us in this morning. Isaiah 58 and 11 says this, "Yahweh will always guide you where to go and what to do. He will fill you with refreshment even when you are in a dry, difficult place. He will continually restore strength to you so you will flourish like a well-watered garden and like an ever-flowing, trustworthy spring of blessing." If we are unwilling to follow him as our guide, not only will we miss the mark on his purpose and plan for our lives, but we will also miss out on times of refreshing and strength, which we so desperately need at certain points and times of our spiritual life in Christ and this journey that we're on. But not only that, we will also miss out on the abundant life of blessing that he has planned for us here and now. And so we need to understand this morning that where he is, we need to be, and we need to be willing to go after him this morning. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." And this is where a lot of people have issue, I suppose. Let him deny himself. It's not favorable for us to begin to deny our flesh, our carnal nature, our own dreams and desires. You see, it is hard, in truth, to live the lifestyle of a disciple with determined purpose and desire as we follow Christ and as he is our guide when we can't let go of self. It's hard to be a disciple when we're wrapped up in us this morning. What Christ is asking his followers to do is to utterly refuse to recognize the original source. Well, what is the original source? For us, it is flesh. It is self. The command to deny requires us this morning to forget and to lose sight of ourself and our own interests. Matthew 6 and 33, a very familiar passage of scripture for most this morning, says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Galatians 5 and 24 goes on to tell us, "And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions." Christ's followers crucify their own passions and desires. They seek first God's kingdom above all else. They lose sight of themselves because they're fully invested into God's purpose and plan before they're invested into anything else this morning. You see, that leads us to, again, another portion of this scripture that sometimes we battle and contend with. Jesus says, not only do I need you to deny yourself, but he says, I need you to take up your cross. Notice he didn't say my cross, because he carried his cross, all right? But this morning, to be a Christ follower, we need to take up our cross. We know that looking through the Gospels, Jesus teaches a lot on self-denial. And part of that includes placing upon ourselves the burden of the gospel as we accept our portion of both the responsibility and the affliction that we must endure as ambassadors thereof. Again, we know that everything isn't going to be cupcakes and sunshine while we serve the Lord. There will be tests and trials. And so he says in this moment, hey, you have to be willing as a Christ follower to take the burden of the gospel and what it will require upon you. Again, not just the responsibility, but the affliction or the suffering, the test, the trials of faith that may come along with it. Again, to take up our cross is to understand that there will be, in fact, tests and trials along the way. And again, it is an understanding and a willingness to both sacrifice and suffer that which is necessary for the sake of the gospel, as we remain a true follower of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had, or you must have that same mindset. It goes on to say, and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You see, it's easier to crucify ourselves when we're striving after Him. It's easier to lay aside our desires and our dreams when we're chasing His desires and His dreams this morning. We should be ready and willing to do this because Jesus reassures us in Matthew 11 and verse 30 that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And again, the Lord confirmed that to us even in worship this morning, that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And because that is truth this morning, we know that we can take up our cross and we can begin to walk that path that we need to walk this morning. And again, all of that leads to two simple words this morning: follow me. You see, lifestyle leads to determined purpose and desire, which leads to choosing to follow Christ as our guide, which causes us to deny self and all of its interest as we invest all that we are into God's kingdom. That brings us to a place of strength, to where we can shoulder and carry our portion of the burden of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of which, again, brings us to the end of this divine invitation that we see in Matthew chapter 16 and 24 with those two simple words of follow me. We see all throughout the gospel where Jesus Christ just simply opens that invitation, specifically to 12 men in particular, but into many others along the way. He gave that same invitation of follow me. Now, this may seem a little redundant at first, seeing how, again, that Jesus has already defined and described a disciple as a follower of Christ who learns the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle that they require. But really, when we get into these two little simple words of follow me, it does go a little deeper. We need to understand this morning that follow me does mean to attend or accompany or go with a teacher. It does mean this morning to be in the same way with someone, following them step for step, walking down the exact path and the exact form and fashion behind them. But what I found interesting was it has a third meaning this morning, and I believe it fits perfectly into what Christ desires for his followers. Because thirdly, it means to have a spiritual relationship with Christ. You see, I love this morning that he doesn't want us to just learn. He doesn't want us to just follow him, but he wants us to learn and follow so that we can relate to him. He desires relationship with you and with I this morning. You see, Jesus doesn't just want followers. He also wants fellowshippers. Now, I understand this morning that that is not a real English word, but I'm going to use it anyhow, all right? Because we can follow Christ, but we also need to understand that he desires fellowship from his followers today, all right? His desire was not to have a people who would somehow blindly follow him, but rather a people who would boldly follow him and fellowship with him as they walk together with him step for step along this journey. Christ followers fellowship with Christ. Let's followers fellowship with Christ. If there is no fellowship, there is no followership. If there is no fellowship, again, there will be no followership. Where there is no investment of our time, there will be no room for influence. If we give no point to relationship or fellowship with Christ, how can he then transform our lives from glory to glory or from strength to strength? You see, where there is no influence, there will be no impact. There will be no transformation. There will be no change. It is impossible to fellowship with someone we don't follow. It is impossible to relate to someone that we refuse to have a daily relationship with. John chapter 14, verses 20, 21, and 23 say this: "So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you." Verse 23, Jesus replied, "Loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place." Verse 20, he says, "I will be living in you." Verse 21, he says, "I will manifest my life within you." Verse 23, he says, "We will make our dwelling place in you." You see, all of those things denote relationship. All of those things denote fellowship this morning. It's not just a blind, again, we walk by faith and not by sight, but that's not to mean that we are blind along the way. Again, we're meant to be learning. We're meant to be following. We're meant to be relating and fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. This morning, are we living our life as a Christ follower? All of us have to ask that question this morning. Does our lifestyle reflect biblical truth? Or do we just simply live by a few principles and then we move on? Do we have a determined purpose and desire to continually press forward into action through faith for the goodness of the kingdom of God? Are we allowing Christ to be our only source of direction and our only guide this morning? Are we following other little rabbit trails of life, if you will? Are we denying self and seeking his kingdom first and leaving ours for what it is worth? Are we bearing our portion of the burden of the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning? Are we remaining in constant relationship and fellowship with him today? In a world that is confused by Christians who don't live or look like Christ, let's be the difference today. Amen. Let's bring clarity by choosing to be a follower of Christ. Not again by some term or definition, but by a determined lifestyle of drawing and pressing into who he is, and by allowing him to be our source and our strength and our guide and our portion for life. You see, today we need to be determined that there will be no more fakes and flakes. Just dedicated men and women of God, reflecting the true heart of God as we ourselves reach out into a lost and dying world with the life-changing, salvation-giving message of eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Will we accept the challenge of being a Christ follower this morning? And not only will we accept the challenge, but will we choose to live that out every single day, drawing closer and closer to him, so that when it's all said and done, we know that we have done our best to do what he has required of us in the here and now. Father, I just thank you today for your word and how it challenges us. God, but I also thank you how it leads, guides, and directs us. And God, that we don't have to live outside of truth. We don't have to live, God, outside of your empowerment. And God, we don't have to live outside of your blessing today. Because, Lord, you have provided all of those things. And God, you have called us to be disciples. Lord, you have called us very specifically to be Christ followers. So God, help us today to make that not a definition or a term that we live under, but God, a determined lifestyle to where we reflect who you are at all times to the very best of our ability. God, help us not to abuse the grace that you've given us, because God, grace is not a free pass to sin. God, grace is an empowerment to serve you and to overcome sin. So Lord, help us to be that Christ follower this morning. I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now maybe this morning you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you have kind of wandered from that path and you've kind of just done your own thing for quite a while. This morning, if that's you and you feel like He is tugging at your heart, I want you to just repeat this simple prayer after me this morning and ask Him to become the Lord and Savior of your life. Ask Him to be the one who takes control and begins that process of transformation today. If that's you, I want you to pray with me this morning. God, I acknowledge my need for a Savior. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died and now lives again. Forgive me of my sins and wash me clean. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe you raised him from the dead, and he is alive and now lives in me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you just prayed that prayer this morning for the first time or the 40th time, I believe that you are right where you need to be, and that today we rejoice with you as do all of heaven this morning. And again, if you have made that first time confession or again, a rededication of your life to Christ this morning, please somehow reach out to us via the comment section or Facebook, something, and just say, hey, today I gave my life to Christ, so that we can again knowingly celebrate that with you. Now this morning, before I dismiss, I do want us to pray. We have a few people within the body who are facing some physical things this morning, and no, they are not related to COVID. It turns out that we can have other issues in life that aren't COVID, all right? And so we just want to simply call them out in prayer this morning. So if you would, I want you to grab your neighbor's hand if you have somebody there at home with you today. And I just want us to pray again for these individuals, that God would just move in their particular case this morning. And again, if there's a need that you know of today, we want you to lift that need up as we collectively pray this morning. Father, again, we thank you for the ability to always come before you. Lord, your word declares that we can walk boldly into your throne room. And so, God, we do that this morning, knowing that there are members within our body, God, who are facing, God, just oddities of life, illnesses, Father. And so we know today that you are, God, that strength. You are our healing. You are, God, our source for wholeness. So, God, we know that while the range of things that people are experiencing today are wide, we know that you are healer over all of them. So, Father, we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would just overshadow them. And, God, work specifically in each life and in each body and in each home this morning, God, that those things would come to full fruition. God, that there would be deliverance and healing and restoration, God, physically as well as emotionally and spiritually this morning. And Father, we thank you for being our healer. We thank you for being the author and finisher of our faith. And God, we bless your name for it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We want to encourage you as we go this morning. to hook up with our Wednesday night Zoom Sunday school class meetings that we're having, and they've been going really well. Please get your kids involved. The kids and youth are at 6 o'clock, and then the adult is at 7, and get on Facebook. If for some reason you don't do Facebook, we have been sending out everybody's number that we have. We've been texting that on Wednesday, the information to the links. If you're not getting that information, please call me personally, and I will make sure that you get that information. And let's just join in and have a good time of learning and growing in God's Word together. And it gives us a little bit of time to have some extra face-to-face time and conversation while we're distanced. And so let's let that be a moment where iron sharpens iron, and let us lift each other's countenance in those moments. And I believe that God's going to do His perfect work through that. Thank you for being with us today, and continue to make sure that you're living the life of a Christ follower and not just a Christian, again, by title or definition, but by determined lifestyle. Bless you, and have a great day in Jesus Christ.